Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here it comes! Here it comes! Here it comes! Here it comes!
Tonight, WIP pays tribute to a true legend, a giant of a man, one we called our own, who is integral to the growth and success of WIP, the one and only Big Daddy Graham.
If I don't sound my normal chipper voice, especially on the week ramping up to the start of a season, there's a good reason for it. I hate to have to be the one to break the news, but late last night, WIP lost one of its best people. This city lost one of its cherished, most talented entertainers. Last night, Big Daddy Graham passed away. We all here at the WIP Morning Show and here at WIP are devastated by the news. Obviously, we have a direct connection because Ava Graham, his daughter, who he's so proud of, is part of our show, and she obviously will not be here for a while. He had been through an unbelievably difficult several years, and you got to understand what this man was like. He beat cancer. He went through hell to beat it. He couldn't eat for years because of radiation in his throat. And he beat it, and he came back stronger than ever, and then unfortunately got a blood clot in his spine, and it rendered him paralyzed from the waist down, and he never fully recovered. Do you know anyone? Did you ever encounter anyone who enjoyed life more than he did?
Oh, no. To the fullest.
He was so full of life. The last event he ever attended was a Sixer playoff game. Billy, you knew him.
Yeah.
And he was a huge Sixer fan. Oh, did he love the Sixers?
He loved the Sixers, and you knew after games you could always tune in if you landed late from a road trip and listen to him talk about it.
But you got to understand, this is the way I've thought for the last 3.5 years now, Billy. I swear to God. Whenever somebody, and we have lost a lot of great people the last 3.5 years. You know what the first thing is that I think of? I can't stop myself. He got to see the Eagles win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's so, to me, Al, so many people waited so long, and I know how much it meant to him. And I guess it was for sports, it was the biggest highlight of his life, too.
20-plus years ago, I'm living in Roxborough, you know, just in a row home in Roxborough. And he calls me and he says, "Hey, I got a show near there. I got to kill an hour. Can I come over?" I said, "Sure, come on over." He walks in and he goes, "Got anything to eat?" And I look and I go, "Well, I got a ham and cheese. I can make a sandwich." So I make him a ham and cheese sandwich. He gets in and he goes, "Any sweets?" I go, "All I got is cookie dough." He and I sat there and ate ham and cheese sandwiches and cookie dough.
Yeah.
Raw cookie dough. And I said, "Only Big Daddy."
We will miss him because there will never be anybody like him. You don't make two of this. And it's gone forever as far as what he brought to the table. The row home mentality, the Philly accent, the chafiness, you know, the scratchiness. Everything about him was itchy and scratchy and abrasive. I can't wait to see all the more stories that are come out that we don't even know about. everybody's got a Big Daddy story. Any interaction you've had with him, if he came across your path, you would say, what was that? What it was you just got Big Daddied. He just put his scent on you, and it was your pleasure.
The following is based on a true story.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
When you're smiling,
when you're smiling,
when you're smiling,
when you're smiling,
and the whole world smiles with you.
Smiles with you.
And when you're laughing,
when you're laughing,
oh, you're laughing,
oh, you're laughing.
When the sun comes shining through,
shining through.
When you're crying,
when you're crying,
you bring on the rain.
Bring on the
stop
rain.
Your sighing.
Stop your sighing.
Won't you be happy again?
Happy again.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling.
And the world will smile.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing? Well, that's good. Big Daddy Graham in here with you on the remaining couple hours of a sensational Sunday. There's no other way of putting it. A sensational Sunday.
Southwest Philadelphia born and raised, Edward Godinez was born on May 29, 1953. He grew up in a row house at 70th and Elmwood. From St. Clement's Parish, where he went to grade school, and on to West Catholic High School. As local as you could possibly get, pure Philadelphia through and through. He loved the Sixers, the Phils, the Big Five, the Eagles, the Flyers, and like the rest of his baby boomers, he grew up listening to legends like Bill Campbell, By Sam, Gene Hart, and Al Meltzer. Little did he know he would end up working with a few of them. Big Daddy never went to college. His college was stand-up comedy. He worked the comedy circuit in Old City and beyond in the late 70s and 80s. Comedians like Craig Shoemaker, the legendary Wid, and Todd Glass were his contemporaries. And then there was this young, smart-ass up-and-comer named Joe Conklin, who said it was Big Daddy who first saw his raw talent.
I met Big Daddy for the first time at the 23 East Ardmore Cabaret when I was doing a talent show or a gong show, they used to call them. They didn't have open mic nights back in the day. They just had these type of things, competitions, comedy competitions, gong shows. People get up and sing a song or do some comedy. Big Daddy was there for after the contest, and he was going to perform. They had a regular comic perform afterwards. He come up and he said,
"Hey, you know, you're really good."
I said, "Thanks a lot."
You can do this. You can get paid.
And he gave me the number of Paul Solari, first booking agent we had. He used to run a lot of rooms in Delaware County, up and down McDade Boulevard, Lancaster Avenue, Chester Pike. And that's how my career started. So Big Daddy plucked me out and set me going.
At that time, I was probably 22. No doubt about it. Yeah, you got me started. You got me into the paying arena anyway.
One of Big Daddy Graham's early breaks on the radio side of show business was in the mid-80s when the WMMR morning show began playing a few songs from an album that Big Daddy had put out, including Call In Sick and Nuns.
Are they a wrestling team?
None.
Them women sure can scream. They're saving all our souls. Memorize love, or they'll punch you right in the nose.
Chewing gum in class again, eh, Big Daddy?
Well, sister.
Well, that'll be 20 years in solitary. You bold and brazen article.
They're not in the phone book. We're down at the bar. They're in before nighttime. I wonder what for. They're selling those chances that nobody wins. But yet they are driving new station wagons.
None.
Don't wear designer jeans.
None.
They dig on rosary beads.
None.
They're not a fashion fad. Keeping me after school for eternity.
That's Big Daddy Graham and Nuns from an album he put out in the mid-80s. Joe Conklin said at the time, Big Daddy was the big-name comic in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Big Daddy was the best headliner, probably the only legitimate headliner at the time that could draw a crowd. If you were starting a comedy night in the early 80s, which is when, you know, the kind of the boom started, the first one, a club would book Big Daddy Graham for the first night. If you say you were doing it every Wednesday or whatever, Big Daddy in, and then a succession of comics after that. And then after about 2 months, you bring Big Daddy back again. He was the main headliner. Craig Shoemaker was still around at that point.
In the 1990s, Big Daddy would segue from the comedy circuit to steadier jobs in radio, landing in what was then competition to WIP 1210 WGMP The Game, and a show called The Sports Attack with Big Daddy, Neil Hartman, and Scott Graham. By 1997, the show had run its course. WIP's overnight show had been recently vacated. Big Daddy Graham began what was to become a 20-plus year run.
The single greatest overnight radio program I ever heard.
I've never gotten over not listening to him overnight.
I was so proud to be at a station that had such great programming in the middle of the night. It was quirky. It was wild. It was crazy. It was filled with insane callers, weird segments. He'd stop in the middle of the show and eat a snack.
Yeah.
And he would take you through the entire snack process with music behind it. And he had a bother segment, and he had read all about it.
Yeah.
Read all, he had all these different segments. He did, Big Daddy Graham did something none of us do as well. He incorporated his life into his show.
Oh, my God, yes.
In such a direct and entertaining way. That I would drive it every morning and always feel I wish I could do it that well. I would. I the sense of loss we feel today, ladies and gentlemen, is not like anything I can regard. I can't remember anything quite like this. And I just want you to understand a couple of things I just want to say. This is how amazing this man was, all right? Hey, he was a first-rate talk show host. He worked his ass off. Mm-hmm. He was doing it out with, you know, not a lot of callers at 3 in the morning.
But they were weird.
They were. And he cultivated them. Do you understand? He was a magnet for strange people.
Yeah, well, it's that hour of the night.
And in a way, I mean, he was kind of offbeat himself.
While Angelo loved having Big Daddy as his lead-in, Al Morgani thought it was his job to keep Big Daddy humble. And Al, being a master prankster, was just the man to do it.
Well, this was so good because Big Daddy was always in search of a gig to get a great gig, a terrific gig. So his daughter Keely was getting married on a Saturday.
Yes.
So I got Ed Rendell to call Big Daddy like on Tuesday to say, you got to do me a huge favor. Barack Obama is coming to town. I need to do a comedy show. I don't care what the price is. It's got to be Saturday. And I found out the time of the wedding was the same time. Ed Rendell said the panic in this guy's voice. Go, what time? What day? This Saturday? What time? And you could hear him yell to, I guess, Debbie, we had to do something here. But such a family man, he turned it down. Broke his heart. And Ed Rendell said, I was crying, laughing on the other side, listening to what he's going through. But true to the family, he turned down Barack Obama.
When he found out it was a prank,
oh my God, Al.
What was his reaction, Al?
He gave me credit for it for Ed to go through with it, but he wasn't. He
was not happy.
He was not happy.
He would.
And the money, when Ed kept saying, what's the price? Any price.
Name your price.
That is the ultimate word to Big Daddy.
Joe Conklin, part of the WIP Morning Show for most of the last 25 plus years, said it was Al Morgani who would encourage him to prank Big Daddy as well, which led to an embarrassing moment on Big Daddy's show around 20 years ago during the Sixers' run to the NBA Finals, involving a couple of legendary Philadelphians, Pat Croce and Bill Campbell.
It was all Al. It was all Al Morgani. I used to see him occasionally on my way in on Route 70 at the Wawa in Cherry Hill. Al sees me coming out, and he says, you got to call Big Daddy right now. I said, why? What's going on? He says, call Big Daddy as Pat Croce because he's ripping him on the air, and I'm sure you can get him. I got in there and called him, and he says, look, Pat Croce's on the line. Yeah, Pat. And I started doing Croce. Big Daddy, how could you say that about me? I've been your friend for a long time. Now, Pat, you said that we did this and that or the other thing. I forget what we were talking about. You said the Sixers were delinquent. It's just untrue. And, Pat, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Pat. That's not what I heard. I just heard it. I'm going to come down there and break your spleen. I'll tear you apart, Big Daddy. Pat, we've been friends a long time. I didn't say that. I'm not good at those, what do you call them, pranks, imposter type things. So I lost it after about a minute or so. But that we had him long enough. He was pretty pissed because I got him. He was really good at getting pissed. He got pissed a lot. He lost it very easily.
Later, call somebody else. Take my name out of your list and call somebody else.
That's why it was so fun to mess with over and over. And so the following night, Bill Campbell used to suffer from insomnia a little bit. He was up late at night, and he legitimately called the real Bill Campbell. Oh, here's Bill Campbell. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, Big Daddy. I got you on here. I couldn't sleep.
Like you're the real Bill Campbell. Listen, Conklin, you're not going to get me two nights in a row, okay? It's just not going to happen.
And he hangs up. Bill Campbell calls back.
What in the world's going on? I'm trying to give this guy a break and give him a phone call, give him some airtime, and he hangs up on me. You know who I am?
Thousands of college players are there that never get drafted.
Oh, a lot never get drafted.
Okay, so what are you going to do with all them? Just tell them, hey, you know what? We're going to let you play some sport, and we're going to call it college football.
All right, so
you're not going to get any degree. And by the way, when you're done with your 4 years here, have a nice life as a homeless person.
Get off my program. Get off. Have a nice life as a homeless person. Who do you think you are, you stuck-up piece of crap? Oh, I'm a law professor. Oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Here it comes. Watch out. I'm coming to get you.
there's a crash on 95.
There's a fire down in Kensington.
Geez, that's a real surprise.
AccuWeather says it's gonna snow.
God, they hope so, weather sells.
Even if it's just a quarter rain,
they'll make it sound like blizzard hell.
We cover all the breaking news
with morons waving in the back.
Even if you're on your honeymoon,
they're gonna send the action cam.
But the big story, but the big story, but the big story.
Hey, there's that action news man.
Mommy, Daddy, there's a geeky looking guy on our doorstep.
Oh my God! It's Don
Holly!
That's the big story.
That's the big story.
I wanna come down past Swimsuit Calendar. Ow!
You're listening to 94WIP's tribute to Big Daddy Graham. When we return, Big Daddy raps a Bob Dylan song. Later, we'll hear Big Daddy's reaction when he gets on the radio after a local team wins a championship right here on 94WIP.
I guess her, and a wheel, with your arm around your sweetheart, your Oldsmobile, barreling down the boulevard. You're looking for the heart of Saturday night.
Our tribute to Big Daddy Graham continues. To understand the respect, awe, and admiration we all had for Big Daddy here at WIP, consider this. Big Daddy hasn't worked at WIP for over 2 years now, and we've known he wasn't coming back to work here because of his illness for quite some time now. But whoever has done the overnight show the last 2 years has always said they're in for Big Daddy Graham because it is his show.
See, the thing about that time slot, that was Big Daddy's show. It could never be replicated. Anytime you would fill in, and you know, if you listen to WIP in the last 20 years, you knew that was Big Daddy's show. The segments were so unique. So whatever you would try to do to break things up to make it more entertaining in the late night, you knew you would just be copycatting Big Daddy. So you try to do your best to do what he would do, and something that the listening audience always loves. And I mean, he was second to none. You could never replicate it, no matter how much you tried.
WIP's John Johnson.
Oh, brother. Well, I woke up Monday morning with pain in my head. My throat was dry and dusty and my eyes were red. I've been out drinking with my girlfriend to two. Now there's only one thing for a man to do. He's got to call in sick. That's what he's got to do.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Boss Man. You know I'll miss you too.
Well, I've stared at the telephone since 6:45. I can't think of no excuse that don't sound jive. I get so nervous that my skin starts to crawl. I guess I'll have to get my girlfriend to call.
He's got to call in sick. That's what he's got to do. If you don't dig it, Mr. Boss Man,
you know what you can do.
Hear me out now, sir.
Well, I broke my leg when I was bowling. I come in anyway, but my car got stolen. And I must have a fever cause the sweat on my brow. Even Marcus Welby couldn't save me now.
Versatile doesn't even begin to describe Big Daddy Graham. A writer, a playwright, a talk show host, a comedian, and a performer. Here is Big Daddy from a Bob Dylan tribute from 2017 at the Ardmore Music Hall, accompanied by Skip Denenberg on guitar, among others, doing what he called Dylan's first rap song.
The first rap song ever. I know I look like a rapper, don't I? You look at me, you think Jay-Z? I think so, right? Come on, let me hear you. Come on! Medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the super clean nose. Watch your plane float. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
Big Daddy Graham doing Bob Dylan's classic Subterranean Homesick Blues. Big Daddy was never afraid to bear it all. He wrote a book about his father, Last Call, and turned it into a one-man play. It was funny and poignant at the same time, with a shocking plot twist that explained a lot about a man that seemed aloof to his family. Big Daddy suffered through a variety of health issues over the last 10-plus years, and he continued to work at WIP until 2 years ago. He continued to do stand-up as often as he could, even through some of his earlier bouts with cancer and back and heart problems. Once again, Joe Conklin.
Well, the guy was just tough. He's one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. He performed at the Colonial Theater, I think, like a day after he got out of the hospital with that cancer thing or that back thing. And I mean, frail. You know, it was kind of like the Willis Reed thing. Give me some water, can't really talk. On stage, boom, amen, everybody. You know, and just pulled it off. And I'm telling you, he would give you an effort every time. I mean, we've all done shows where we had to, you know, we mailed it in, you know, or the show where this audience is a little off. There's only 10 people here. And, you know, I'm having a bad time or this is difficult. Eddie never did that. He never did that. He worked that show. He gave you your money's worth. And he would never let you down. If you're like me, if I'm booking him, he would never roll out a bad show, no matter if there were, you know, 1,000 people there or 9 people there. He would give you an effort, and that's really professional. And it's and again, toughness. You got to be tough to be able to do that. I guess it comes from years of the other thing is, if you didn't do your time, you didn't get paid. You didn't get all your money, so he wanted all his money for sure. But the guy was really a tough person, strong, and just went out there and did the job, you know. And it would kill him if he had to sacrifice a fee. So maybe that's part of it too.
'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate.
And as to Big Daddy's charm as a comedian and why he connected so well with his audiences.
The audiences loved him. They related to him. He was raw, unfiltered, row home, very familiar. You all knew a guy who sounded like that, talked like that, was as rude as he was. He was a crude, rude dude. And then he would kind of do it with a wink and a nod. So, you know, somehow that was his charm. You know, his audacity was his charm. And he was a bull in a china shop, you know, uninvited. Just crash in there and start knocking stuff over, insult you, and then wink at you, and then act like, hey, what are you looking at, pal? and for some reason, you just laughed at this guy with King Kong balls.
Joe Conklin and Big Daddy Graham began doing their wildly popular Too Funny Philly Guys shows around the Delaware Valley nearly 15 years ago. Was there ever a crossword between the two comics? Maybe a few.
We fought constantly. I constantly fought with him, and he was easy to get excited. You could get his goat real easy. I'm kind of like that too. Eddie and I would fight all the time. He got to be where he was scared of me, you know, and he didn't like hashing the business out. You know, we did these Two Funny Philly Guys, and there'd be a thing about, you know, what time I wanted to go earlier, the time I'd rather do it this way, and he wouldn't tell me how many tickets are being sold, things like that. And we never wanted to discuss business in front of people. So at the station, he would show up. Yeah, keep going, not in front of everybody. Come on, let's go in here. We need to go into a side studio. Well, there was no studios available. One day, I had to chase him into a closet. We're in a closet on like Marcus Street. First thing he says is, "Don't yell at me."
The overnight shift at WIP is the entriest of entry-level positions. As you can imagine, Big Daddy went through a lot of producers in his days at WIP. One of them is WIP's Tom Kelly.
Well, I worked with Big Daddy for a long time, starting when I was a producer here, filling in on overnight shifts. And I was honestly kind of scared to work with Big Daddy sometimes because he, you know, could be intense to work with, but he was the best. He had the most entertaining show. When you worked his show, you knew the shift was going to fly by. You were going to have fun with him, be on the air. And it was always such a unique show. The callers that he'd have, the segments that he'd do were so much fun to participate in. And, you know, the more you got to know Big Daddy, the more you liked him, the more you understood what he meant to the station, the more you understood how much he truly got the city. And that was one of the coolest things that I took from working with Big Daddy. And as I've gone throughout, you know, working here, getting the chance to fill in for him over the last few years has been truly an honor. And nobody can ever fill Big Daddy's shoes. That's why anybody who does the shift always says filling in for Big Daddy Graham, because it's always his shift, and that's how everybody views it. He'd put me on the spot and have me do a segment by myself, and at that time, before I'm really on the air, it's kind of scary to do that, but Big Daddy would give you an opportunity to go on the air, and I always was appreciative to him for that, and it was always a fun experience working with him, and really, really cool any chance you got to spend time with him for a night. And those shifts would go faster than any other shifts you'd work. We weren't technically allowed on the air, but Big Daddy, you know as well as anybody, he didn't really care too much about rules. They weren't things that he worried too much about.
We'll have pizza for breakfast, baby. Wow. Champagne for lunch. Wow. You can watch the soaps all day. I can watch the Brady Bunch. Wow. We'll take our clothes off. Wow. You pull down the shades. The boss ain't gonna see me till it's time to get paid. He's gotta call in sick. That's what he's gotta do. I'm gonna pick up that telephone and lie my ass off to you. Yeah, hello, boss. Yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I can't make it in today. You see, my grandmother died yesterday, and I've been up all night crying, and I don't like sticking you with this, but what's that? My grandmother died last week. What are you... Oh, yeah, no. That was my other grandmama on my dad's side. Yeah, isn't that unbelievable? Both of them dying in the same week like that? Now, come on now. I know this is the 12th day I've missed this month, but I'm not making any of this up. My dog really did eat my driver's license that day. And would a responsible person drive without a license? And that other time, my shoelaces were in a knot and my mother wasn't around. Now, hey, don't tell me there's no quicksand in my backyard. I was stuck in it, bud. Now, don't call me no liar now, dude. I mean, you don't call me when you're taking a day off now, do you, scum waffle?
Another classic from Big Daddy Graham, Call In Sick. When our tribute to Big Daddy Graham returns, you'll hear from some of the characters that called into his overnight radio show. And the gut reaction from Big Daddy when one of our teams finally broke its long championship drought right here on 94 WIP.
I had skin like leather and the diamond hard look of a cobra. I was born blue and weathered, but I burst just like a supernova. I could walk like Brando right into the sun, dance just like a Casanova. With my black jacket and jacket and hair slick sweet, silver star studs on my desk like a Harley and Heat. When I stood down the street, I could feel its heartbeat.
I don't know what to tell you, except I may be, I'm not exactly sure who's older, me or Howard Eskin. I really don't know. I know we're in the same ballpark, but we would be the two oldest guys here at this station who never lived anywhere else but Philadelphia, which is me. I've never lived anywhere else but Philadelphia. This has been a dream come true for me, even having the opportunity to work at this station. Now, I'm serious. I've loved talk radio my whole life. And to be able to come on, technically speaking, if you don't count, you know, Rob and everybody, because they're like the post-game show, I'm technically the very first host on the air after the Eagles win their first Super Bowl ever. My old man's been dead for a long, 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 long time. But he was around for 10 Super Bowls before he passed on. Now, my old man was a serious football fan, played semi-pro football when that really meant a lot, And he really only truly cared about two teams, the Eagles and the Phillies. And when the Phillies won in 80, me and my brother met at McGillin's and had a drink and toasted the old man, even though virtually none of us got along with him. Who cares? It didn't matter. And I'll be damned if I didn't think about him a little bit after that, after the game ended tonight. And so this is for you tonight, you and all your dads and your granddads and your uncles and your moms. Because, you know, my wife and Ava in particular, and my other daughter's a baseball fan before she is a football fan. But, of course, she's watching the game today. But my daughter and Ava, they watch every game. They have for years and years and years. So I don't want to leave out the mothers either. And the grandmothers either. All I'm expecting to do tonight, I'm going to tell you flat out, is push buttons. This is absolutely your show tonight, not mine. We may have some guests calling in from time to time. Who knows? But this is your show, not my show. This is your time. You've been waiting for most of you listening your entire life. Well, no, I'm sorry. What am I saying? Everybody listening has been waiting their entire life to win a Super Bowl. I was getting confused with 1960 there for a second. I know there are some people up and listening who were around for the 60 championship, but let's face it, not to take anything away from any NFL championships, the game really exploded with the advent of the Super Bowl.
That's Big Daddy Graham on 94WIP, Monday, February 5th, 2018, with the first show ever on WIP following our postgame show that could actually celebrate the Eagles winning a Super Bowl. It was a game for the ages and a day for the ages. The revelers that night got to hear the joy of a man who'd waited all his life for the Eagles to win a Super Bowl. Note that a few of us, like Big Daddy, were around for the 1960 championship, but were too young to really appreciate it. And it was pre-Super Bowl era. Nowhere near as big as it is now.
Last butter. No coat of pain on his lonesome old town. Set him up, we'll be knocking him down.
This is WIP's salute and tribute to Big Daddy Graham, who passed away Wednesday night. On our third and final segment, we'd like to feature the callers who made Big Daddy's show what it was. A potpourri of people up at all hours of the night, reaching out to a friend or a sympathetic voice, or just a gruff man trying to make it through another night.
All summer long, we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Harrison's in Boyertown. He's on 94WIP. Hey, Harrison.
All right, I'm just talking about the Eagles wide receivers right now. They're all getting hurt. If they keep getting hurt, Nelson Aguilar, Miles Austin, they're all getting hurt. Now Darren Sproles gets hurt. He comes back into the game. Okay, they're all getting hurt. What can we do to solve that?
What?
What do you mean, what?
What do you mean, what? What? I don't understand your question.
What are we doing? What are we doing to solve the wide receiver issue in Philadelphia?
What?
What do you mean? What? Miles Austin went down. Okay, he's hurt. Okay, he's a bum anyway. What are we doing about him?
What?
What are we doing about all the Eagles wide receivers?
What?
What do you mean, what?
What?
Oh, my God. I was so happy to hear from Mr. Melody of the night.
Oh, Jim Melody, former Eagles GM.
Yep.
He was happy to be on the same airways as you. He said that to me off the air.
And Coach Vermeil told me that his father owned a car lot, like my uncle. And
wait a minute. Let's stop. Here we go. I never knew you were close friends with Dick Vermeil.
No, well, you know, as I was saying the other night, you know, at the wake, at my Uncle Joe Foster's wake, you know, Mr. Murray, Coach Vermeil, Bill Birdie, and a number of other Eagle players were at his funeral. You know, my father and him got tickets after the war, and they were right behind the Eagles bench on the 50-yard line.
So he's not a former player?
Who, Jim Murray?
No, Joe, your Uncle Joe.
Oh, my Uncle Joe. No,
why is Dick Vermeil and Bill Birdie at your Uncle Joe's viewing?
Well, because they've been going to every game since the end of the war.
Why was Dick Vermeil and Bill Birdie and Jim Murray at your Uncle Joe's viewing?
They knew him personally. Actually, when Len Toast got in trouble with the gambling, my uncle got 2% of it to help Toast out. I
got 2% of
night.
Got 2% of what?
The Eagles.
Your Uncle Joe owns 2% of the Eagles?
He's deceased in 1980. But at the time, I used to see Len Toast at my lawyer, Dick Sprague's office, because he was dealing with the casinos, and I was there for other matters.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, you had this jazz guy on.
Yes.
The trumpet. There's a great trumpet piece in an Eddie Fisher song in 1954. And it's called,
there we go,
"Oh
Jimmy.
My Papa."
I know the song. Okay, but not in a million years did I think I would be talking about an Eddie Fisher song from 1954. Leave it to Jimmy.
I used to go in this place where Sonny Jurgensen and Tom McDonald used to go in, and Dick Allen and a number of people in this Irish dinner. He would sing on a Friday night at synagogues, and then he'd do churches. Plus, he had his own singing routine where he'd run around.
And what does Sonny Jurgensen have to do with this?
Well, he was at the same club. There was this guy named, I was wondering if you ever heard of him, named Milt Buckner. He was a jazz and a blues man, and he played the organ and piano. And he also used to have all, he would play Europe in the summer, and then in the winter, he would come to Germantown and play the Delmore, where Jurgensen and McDonald hung out.
My man, Jimmy, if there are people in their car listening right now, they're going, he just covered 8 different topics, none of which have been discussed at any point this week.
One of a kind. Who was that man? It was and is Big Daddy Graham. From Southwest Philly to the airwaves of WIP for over 20 years doing our overnight show. Filling in on the morning show, making spectacular, sometimes X-rated, but always comical entrances at Wing Bowl. He never stopped doing stand-up. His shows with Joe Conklin were legendary. Earlier in his career, he opened for the likes of Bonnie Raitt, Hall & Oates, The Four Tops, B.B. King, Gladys Knight, The Temptations, Warren Zevon, Greg Allman, Herbie Hancock, Robert Klein, Don Morera, Ray Charles, Ronnie Spector, and Southside Johnny. Big Daddy played the Spectrum, The Man, the Scottish Rite Auditorium, Valley Forge Music Fair, the Keswick, the Tower, the TLA, and the Borgata. He was ours at WIP, but he was also yours. We love you, Big Daddy Graham, and we thank you for the friendship, the fun, and the laughs.
Judge us just because our hair is long.
You know we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Just tell me what's going on.
Special thanks to Joe Conklin, Angelo Cataldi, Ray Hughes, Al Morgani, Joe Wechter, John Johnson, Tom Kelly, Ike Reese, Keith Jones, Big Daddy's former bosses, Spike Eskin, David Yagdaroff, Mark Rayfield, Andy Bloom, Jason Mertitus, Tom Lee, Tom Bigby.
Taiwan violinist Tom Bigby turning 63 today. Happy birthday there, Tommy. NFL punter Tom Bigby turned 63 years old today. Happy birthday there, Tommy. The Godfather, Tom Bigby, turning 63 years old today. Happy birthday there, Tommy.
Jill Speckman, Jack Keffer, and all the scores of WIP producers over the years who got their starts producing Big Daddy shows, co-hosting illegally before the producers joined our union and when he decided to take a segment or two off.
My man, Mike Angelina, who does so much more than answer the phones and put names up on that board. I don't know where my show would be without him.
Our deepest condolences and profound thanks to the entire Gadonis family for sharing him with us for all these years. Ava, Keely, his grandkids, and especially his saint of a wife, Debbie.
Get home right now and I'm going to break your face.
Thank you, Deb, for taking care of Big Daddy and keeping him in line all these years. We love Big Daddy and we love you as well. Co-executive producers of WIP's tribute to Big Daddy Grammer, Mike Angelina and Matt Battaglia. Our last words tonight come from Big Daddy's daughter, Ava, who now works at WIP and is an important part of the WIP morning show. She called in at the end of the morning show Thursday to thank everyone for their nice words about her father. This has been a presentation of Sports Radio 94 WIP and Odyssey. For 94 WIP, I'm Rob Cherry. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Angelo. I just wanted, I was just saying to Joe off air that I just wanted to call in, and I haven't been able to listen all morning, but the tributes to my father have been absolutely beautiful. Just, he was everything to me. He was why I'm here doing what I'm doing. He was the reason why you got him on your show, because of him and every game he's gone to, every play he went, saw everything. He was the greatest dad I could have ever asked for, and I'm not going to take up too much time because he would be really mad if I didn't let more people say good things about him. So I'm going to allow everyone else to, right, give their heartfelt tributes, and I just wanted to say thank you to everyone. He was,
Ava, let me just say one thing to you, right? Because I've always told you for the years you work with us what a special dad you had. I had no idea it was this special. We have had every line filled the entire morning of people who want to say great things about your father. You and your mom and your sister and all of the other people should be so proud of what an extraordinary man who is the head of your family. I hope you know that.
Proud, and I just have to say my the reason he was here on this earth as long as he was because of my amazing mother. My mother Debbie just did so much for him, and we were here together when his last breath, and I just, you know, just thank you everybody for appreciating his talent and how giving and generous, and like, yeah, he would make me still catch a bottle, but he would give as anything he could to the Alzheimer's Association and various things. He was generous and kind-hearted, and I'm going to let you guys wrap up the show. Is there an Eagles game coming up?
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. And may you stay. Forever young. Forever young. Forever young. May you stay.
That's Armin Chevalier. Really nice people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.